Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Human nature is to be average. It's to survive. It's not to win a championship. It's not to be the best you can be. It's none of those things. And we think as coaches that just because a guy's a good athlete, he wants all that.
Yes.
Now, every now and then you get a guy who's got all the right stuff, who's a great leader, who does everything right. I mean, you were that way as a player. But there's not very many guys like that. You got to make them that way.
It's Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and on 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Que lo que hay, mi gente? What's good, my people? It is Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Happy Wednesday. Shout out to everybody that was listening to Mark Grody, man. Phenomenal job right there. You could catch him every single week talking about training camp live, right? That's right. And Grody was saying some good stuff. Of course, he mentioned the Nick Saban stuff that was we just played right there, talking to Coach Eberflus. It was interesting seeing him in the room. Because I thought to myself, does Coach Eberflus think he's in a... I mean, obviously Nick Saban's not coaching this year, but, you know, does he think he... You know, sometimes you might see somebody at your job, you know, like an old head that comes by and they're trying to tell, oh, I used to be the manager here 22 years ago. And you're looking at them like, man, bro, this ain't you no more. This is me now. I'm the man. But it's Nick Saban, though. You know what I mean? Like, what if it was like the greatest manager in that store's history, you know, or your competitor's history? I don't know, whatever. It's just interesting, those two speaking right there. But Hard Knocks was one for the books, man. Everybody was up. Everybody was ready for it. I was ready for it. Bears fans were ready for it. It was a bit of, I don't want to say underwhelming, but it was an episode one. They couldn't just, you can't have suspense and payoff in episode one. I mean, you can somewhere built in. But overall, just highlighting everything, Caleb, and highlighting, you know, DJ Moore and the guys. And I think it was... It's something. It's so funny because we're finally here. We as Bears fans have always, we've been on board with the McCaskies and been like, nah, we ain't doing that. That's lame. We are not going on Hard Knocks. Then you get Caleb and you kind of get forced in because you're one of the last two teams that is yet to do it. And then you're like, damn. I was talking about it last night on the podcast. Shout out to the Chicago Clubhouse podcast crew. And, you know, we were talking about expectations. They're here. We are now here. We're watching Hard Knocks. We're seeing it. We're getting an inside look. It's like all the arguments that have been dormant for months can now come back up. I'm going to play a little bit of audio from the producer of Hard Knocks. Shannon Furman was on with Take the North podcast. Of course, our guys, Adam Hoge, David Hall. You can check that out right here on the Odyssey app. So I'm going to play some stuff from her in a second. But people were certainly ready to argue. The podcast that I was on yesterday, the guys were, two of the guys, there's three hosts, two of them were still feeling a baby certain type of way about Justin Fields. Like, they were like, I don't know, though. One of the guys was like, still, today, I don't know, though, Joe Alt. And
you know, are they seeing the clips from Steelers camp or something?
It's just, I don't know. I'm so far past that, you know. But I'm saying all these things bubble up. Why? Because you got Steelers clips. Because you got Caleb Williams, and they're like, you know, there's some secret rumblings going on that he's fumbled quite a few times in practice, but no one's talking about it. And I'm like, who cares, bro? We are here. We're not doing that anymore. But it also gives you the opportunity to, you know, weigh in on Caleb Williams and if he does not perform well and what that might look like. But I thought there were some cool takeaways from Shannon Ferman's interview with the Take North podcast. Specifically, this rule on no swearing. And I know, I didn't even know that was the thing. But then I, you know, saw that, hey, man, it's part of the culture. We got kids watching. You know, we're going to stay on par with our brand. We're not going to do that. I understand. I get it. But here's Shannon's take on the Bears' approach to no swearing.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that's important to the McCaskey family. But also, like, Coach is kind of funny because he'll say to me, like, I'm not going to curse today. And I'm like, Coach, I haven't heard you curse yet. Like, so I don't think that's going to be different than any other day. It's definitely something that, like, we've all said it. Like, it's like, have you heard anyone curse here yet? So it's definitely something. And I've also heard Coach say, like, you know, like, I know he's watching his language, but I think that's just who he is. I think he's like that even if there are not cameras around. So it's something we've all been impressed by being here. So yeah, like, it's definitely different. Everyone's a little different. We've heard that in the past too, with different shows where people will say like, oh, like, I don't want to look like Rex Ryan looked. And you're like, well, Rex wanted to look how he looked. And I think he looked great. But like, if you're not Rex Ryan, you're not going to look how Rex Ryan looked. So it's all about how you are with the person. We try to be as authentic as possible to who everyone is. And, you know, no two people are the same.
That was Shannon Ferman talking to the Take the North podcast. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. She's the producer of Hard Knocks, and she's been doing it for quite some time. When you hear her discuss, you know, with the pod about former first round picks and how they acted, whether it was Jared Goff or Baker Mayfield, and you just know she's been around for some time, and she has personal relationships with these people, because she also mentioned that her and Goff are still very good friends. And I like the fact that she also pointed out that, you know, maybe, you know, a particular player doesn't take precedent over another because they're constantly, every person is an individual. And then they are trying to pluck out, you know, who they like and what that looks like and what kind of content they're trying to get for the people for Hard Knocks. And it is interesting. And they have to make big decisions, right? Like, featuring Caleb Williams in the beginning and giving him that, like, Jordan-like introduction.
Honestly, like, we had been here a couple days filming the team, and I got an email, and it was kind of all written up. Eric Powers is the person's name, diehard Bears fan, like I said, kind of told us how Ray Clay's still in the area. We reached out. He was willing to help us out. He was actually on vacation, so we had to kind of figure out, like, exactly when he would be home, helped us find the studio, do all that. The home office had to make sure they could clear the music. So once they told us that that was good to go, we, like, knew we were all in with it. And then just had to, it's not even something that you have to ask Caleb to do. He's walking out to the field every day. So we just had to pick the appropriate equipment and things to figure out the way we wanted to capture it. Had a couple different camera folks on it to get it from inside the locker room out to the field. So just kind of storyboarded out that whole process. And I thought it worked really well.
I had no problem with it whatsoever. I know Gertie didn't necessarily care for it. And I understand, maybe if you have a slice of memory pie that name is synonymous with, and you don't want to then create some new memory or feel a certain, like, try to, I get it. But for me, it makes sense. From a producer standpoint, that makes sense. Oh, you have a connection to Ray Clay, a famed voice of Chicago sports? Yes. Caleb Williams? Yes. They don't look at it like, I'm tired of hearing that voice. They look at it like, that would be a cool homage to the Bulls. But I thought it was great. I think Shannon's doing a great job, or has done so far with it. She's also talked about the fact that, you know, she got to hang on to some gems, things that they might have gotten already that they have to hang on to, this, so that that way they can hold on, because it's obviously very quick. She said 4 more episodes, I think it was. But it's a tough task. When you were trying to decide what to feature, right? You're recording so much. Those cameras are going off. Like, you might storyboard certain things, but ultimately there's so much tape that's going to hit the cutting room floor. So how do you decide stuff like that?
We do a ton of research on our own, but we like to get input from the team, from people around the team. We have a producer at Films who is a diehard Bears fan. So he has been a huge help in this whole process, giving us different storylines, the Michael Jordan theme song, and getting Ray Clay involved in all of that. That was his idea this week. So he's been very helpful. I mean, people have asked me a lot about like where our ideas come from. And I would say 50% of it, we kind of know going in, and then 50% of it just unfolds as the practices are happening. We learn a ton during those 3 days where it was just rookies or like second year guys out there, and you can kind of go all in and mic people that you may have never really heard of or, you know, knew too much about. So we learned a lot in that week. And just as things unfold in games, like Colin Johnson, he was on our radar. We knew about him a little bit, but you score 2 touchdowns in a game, you're going to find yourself on Hard Knocks.
Yeah, it's one thing to impress your coaches. It's another thing to make your way onto Hard Knocks. That's a great one. Again, Shannon Furman, producer of Hard Knocks. She was talking to the Take the North podcast, David Hall, Adam Hogue, Dan Weider, and she had some great things to say about, you know, just the team, the process, and I thought that stuff was very interesting. You know, when you're, imagine if you're a rookie free agent or someone on the cusp, and you say to yourself, well, damn, I might not make the team, but I might be shown on Hard Knocks, and that's the best exposure I can possibly get, like Colin Johnson kind of guy. Like, it's the best exposure you're going to get leading into the season if you are someone that is on the fringe, right? Like someone that's not necessarily a shoo-in to make the Chicago Bears football team. I get it. I'd want to be there too, but it's great. I'm so glad there's more. Like, I can't wait to see the episode about the Hall of Fame game, because then you're going to see the decision not to play Caleb. You're going to see his reaction, what that looks like, what he was like. You know, more. It's going to be cool. Can't wait to see that. But of course, amongst all this, whether it is OTAs, voluntary workouts, whether it's the start of training camp, there has to be a favorite, right? There has to be a favorite. It can't just be a good story. It got to be someone that actually you enjoy recording because they make your job a bit easier. This was Shannon's favorite person.
We love Tyson. He's definitely on our radar. So hoping to get more into him this week. Again, don't want to give too much away about things we may have already done with him, but I loved that. I also loved his reaction to the singing, like when you see him singing along with the Proud to Be an American. Like, that was one of my favorite moments in the show. I said that to my assistant director when we were watching last night. I said, did you notice Tyson's reaction yet? And he started looking at him and was like, oh my God, I hadn't. So he's definitely someone we want to get more into, and hopefully he'll get some more playing time here in this week's game and we can do that.
Yeah, Tyson Bajan is a character. We know that. He is. His father is. I loved his answer about whether or not the Bears would bring in a veteran quarterback. It's like, I don't know. I've been working my face off. Just getting back. And you know it's true. It's like an Amon-Ra situation where you know his dad is just back there making sure he's handling business, even though he's probably handling it on his own. Tyson certainly seems like that kind of a guy. He's in between a rock and a hard place as well, right? I mean, you got Ribbon coming out, handling business. You know, he was obviously Tyson Bajan, handpicked by Luke Getsy, who no longer is with the Bears. What does Shane Waldron think about a Tyson Bajan? So, you know, he's in a tough situation, and it would be cool to see him do what a lot of Bears fans thought he was capable of, which is continue to rise and get better and be a capable backup quarterback. So that's what I viewed him as, was a capable backup quarterback. And obviously Mark Griffin's there handling business, but again, we'll see. I did think there would be everybody brings up like guys like, not him, but guys like a Tannehill, where you can bring him in just to kind of be there in the event.
But I think you do that. You do that when you really, really expect to make the playoffs, and you bring in a guy that can manage the squad and kind of get you a couple victories to kind of get you over the hump to get you into the playoffs because you still believe in your team. So we'll see what ends up happening there. One last one I wanted to play for you because there's been so many Hard Knocks seasons, right? Different teams, obviously, that she's been producing. Of course, I'm talking about Chen Furman, the producer of Hard Knocks. And there has to be things that stand out, or maybe things that you think stand out for the Chicago Bears. Like, what makes them unique?
I probably can't talk too much about it yet because there'll be characters that we're developing. But I think some of the guys on the team that are going to be trying to make this team, I feel like we have some of the best stories we've ever had. Just like genuinely good people who have goals and other and like things going on in their lives that like it's going to be really cool for us to tell some of these guys' stories about their journey of making this team. And I think you'll start to learn about some of them this week. We love the quarterback room as a whole, so I mean I think it works out for us that, you know, Caleb Williams is the number one pick of the draft and stuff this year, but all the guys in that room are pretty awesome. So we like that whole group and we're hoping that we can make them all a part of this whole experience. They've been great so far. So hopefully you'll see more of them this week too. And just another thing of note here, like this facility is beautiful. So just the layout of camp and where we are, like with the marshes and things like that, like flying the drone early in the morning, it looks visually, it's kind of stunning here. It's been pretty awesome.
Yeah, man, it really is. House Hall is a gem. If you've never been there, man, next season, I know obviously this year was kind of tough to get those training camp tickets, high demand, but next season you got to get out there, man. It's just so beautiful. I got my father-in-law another pair of tickets, and I told the story about how last year, shout out to my father-in-law, Ken, I told the story last year that I get him some tickets. Shout out Mark Grody. Gives me the training camp tickets. I send them out there. Him and his boy. Older men, right? In their 60s. He's retired. So he goes out there and they have a 40-yard dash for you. And so they go over there. They go to do the 40-yard dash. And his boy goes first and he pulls a hammy. Like, pulls a hammy is on the floor on the side. And my father-in-law walks up to his boy and he's like, "Hey man," he's like, "you all right?" He's like, "dude, you can't be doing that, man. You can't give it your all. You got to take." Now, my father-in-law ran track in high school, was all state in football or something like that. So he gets to go do the 40-yard dash, and sure enough, his ass pulls his hamstring too. So now both of these 60-year-old men, who I've then gifted training camp tickets to, are in the trainer's tent. They've been carted to It's hilarious. They've been carted to the trainer's tent. This was last year. So this year he texts me and he's like, "Hey, Gabe, sup, son?" No, I just didn't say that. "Can I get a pair?" I get him some. But the first thing I told him was, "Listen,
don't.
Please do not hit the 40-yard dash the way you did." You know what he texted me back? "I've been training all year." No, just play.
If you have not run a 40-yard dash in a while, don't do
just
it.
Just don't do it.
It's
just not the right thing. You want to do a jog before you do a run. It's tough. But the facilities are beautiful. He said it. He said he saw a lot of great things. He said Caleb Williams looked good. He said Roman Dunze was faster than he thought. So, and I asked him, I go, "Give me one player. Here, you want a real scouting report? Forget Mark Grody's scouting report. How about my father-in-law, Ken?" I said, "Any players that really stood out to you? You know, because he's a really big Bears fan." He says, "Yeah, I will tell you. That punter is ridiculous."
The crocodile punter.
He says, "I've never seen anything like it."
Legit. I was trying to tell you guys.
He said, "Gerald Everett was surprisingly impressive to me. Outside of that, everyone was exactly what you expected." So, just know, where I had complete doubts about it, first thing my father-in-law tells me is, that is the truth. All right, so we get an opportunity to talk a little bit more football with our next guest, EJ Snyder. I wonder if he thinks, I'm not going to ask him about the punter. It's just too funny. But I am curious what he thinks about the productivity of Caleb Williams, not only throughout the season, but to start the year, week one against the Titans. How does he think he'll come out the gate? We talk to EJ Snyder next. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on Chicago Sports.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Radio 670 The Score.
I mean, he's damn near a receiver, right? Like, it's really good for us, though. You know, I think just coming off of last year, that's something we wanted to improve on. And again, we do one-on-ones every day. We're in pads. So being able to go against him and Herb and, you know, Roshan and all those guys, you know, I think it's a really good group, but it really helps us. You know, he's dynamic. He's quick. And he has really good hands, too. So he makes it tough on you.
It's Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and on 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Yo, it is Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. That was TJ Edwards talking about DeAndre Swift. I mentioned that I was on a podcast yesterday, Chicago Clubhouse podcast, and I got into a healthy argument with one of the hosts about DeAndre Swift yesterday. And I've been saying it since, I don't know, we signed him. I said, I think DeAndre Swift will be a Pro Bowler. And I said, I've been saying it on 670 The Score. I've been saying it, whatever. I said it yesterday on this podcast. And this guy just like, I don't know. He went pretty hard on me. He was just like, what? He's not even better than the running backs in the division. He's like, look at Aaron Jones and Josh Jacobs. And he starts saying all this stuff. And he goes and he goes and he goes. And then I just say, like, hey, you do know he made the Pro Bowl last year, right?
Yeah, I was just going to say. I was like,
you do understand that he made the Pro Bowl last year. He's like, I don't see him being a 1,000-yard. Well, he didn't last year. He does a bunch of things. And I think if he can be that Swiss Army knife for Caleb Williams, he can duplicate his success from last season with the Philadelphia Eagles. To talk about not only the running backs of the Chicago Bears, but the offense and defense as a whole. We get to talk to our next guest who joins us right now on the Arturo Tire Hotline. Arturo, your hometown tire, Arturo.com. Of course, he's the co-creator of Bootleg Football and the senior draft analyst for Windy City Gridiron, talking about my guy EJ Snyder. EJ, welcome to the show, man.
Gabe, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, man, it's for our first time we get to chat, so this is gonna be fun for me. Let's start with, since I was just talking about DeAndre Swift, let's talk about what you think his role is going to be in this offense. Obviously, you have a Caleb Williams and a high-powered wide receiver room. They're bringing back a Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson who are in the room for now. You hear about Velus Jones, but DeAndre Swift sits atop that pecking order. But, you know, when you have, you know, you still have your tight ends that you're talking about. It's a lot of weapons, so to speak. What kind of share does DeAndre Swift get in this 2024 season?
I think he's probably option five, option four, depending on how you look at it. But like you said, he's versatile and he has a lot of things. He's going to catch the ball. He's flashed really good hands over the past couple of days in camp to sort of open people in Chicago's eyes to how good he is catching the football. But that was always part of his game as a receiver and then as a yak threat after that. So, yeah, you might not see 1,000 yards or 1,200 yards on the ground, but that doesn't mean that yards from scrimmage aren't going to be high and that he is, again, not going to be occupying RB1 for the Chicago Bears, getting those initial reps, whether it's receiving, whether it's rushing. That still puts him, you know, down the list, and that's a good thing for the Bears. If DeAndre Swift was option one, it would mean your wide receiver core was not great. It would mean you didn't have any tight ends. Bears don't have that problem, so it's a good thing. He might not get as much usage as some of those other backs that you mentioned who are in the division, but he is going to be used, he is going to be efficient, and he is going to break some big plays.
Yeah, and he might be a failsafe for Caleb Williams. When you think about that, when you think about, you know, obviously we have no tape, right? And so we're just out here, you know, guessing as to what we think. But when you're looking at that option where, hey, man, the pressure's coming to me, do you see him, Caleb Williams, as the guy who will still try to make that throw down the field? Do you see him dumping it off to a tight end where he's going to be the beneficiary of a couple more receptions throughout the season? Or do you see it being DeAndre Swift?
I think it is going to be sometimes, absolutely. And that comes from watching Shane Waldron's offense last year out here in the Pacific Northwest and how he used Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet in that role. And they absolutely were able to bail Geno Smith out occasionally. And that is going to happen. Might not be the first read, but we know Caleb Williams is certainly capable of getting through those reads, being able to athletically avoid the rush and get the ball off before he ends up on the turf. And even if that's his third, fourth, fifth look is DeAndre Swift, that's going to be a better option than him just eating it and taking the sack.
Yeah, I try to envision what the offense looks like. And clearly we can go back and watch Seattle and see, you know, the success that they had. But again, it's just there's so many new components, right? EJ, like, how do you digest this? There's so many new things where, you know, we as analysts are supposed to go out and give our opinion, but there are so many variables that are unknown, especially when we're trying to look at them as a whole. How do you manage all that?
Gabe, that's a great question. I get asked it a lot. And I think the first thing to acknowledge is we don't know. That's a great place to start to say, hey, I'm going to learn along with everybody else. I can tell you what Shane brings, what Caleb did, you know, what DJ Moore did last year in this offense, what DeAndre Swift did last year in Philly. Again, you're combining those into a new organic whole, and there will be elements of all of them, but especially with a rookie quarterback, it's not always going to go how you draw it up. That's going to be something we're going to see regularly. Luckily, Caleb can create, and he's very good in that situation. But this is going to be an evolving offense. And then, you know, the elephant in the room, if the offensive line doesn't work the way we want it to, you're not going to get to see a lot of the way Shane Waldron's draws it up. And so it's good to say, I don't know, we're learning, there's going to be these elements. If it was me, I would lean into this. But starting off with, I don't think anybody really knows right now. And if they say absolutely 100% they do, I don't really trust them.
Yeah. Those are called Bears fans that do those kinds of things. And we are out here aplenty. All right. So I know you're the senior analyst over there at Second City Gridiron. And, you know, I think a lot of people have been inundated and overwhelmed with information about Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze. But we haven't been hearing much about Kyren. We haven't been hearing about Austin Booker. What can you say about those draft picks for the Chicago Bears? And what did you think about the last three, including our guy, Torrey Taylor?
Well, Kyren, I think we haven't heard as much about because he's been, you know, coming back from injury. They're working him back slowly. So he's not out on the field. He's not getting as many reps as other folks. So that's just going to tamp down some of that enthusiasm. In terms of how he's scouted as a prospect, athletically, he's got every tool you need. He's got some development to do. Hometown kid, which is always great. I don't think it really matters, but it's awesome for him that he gets to come home and play for his hometown team. And he's probably going to be an option at tackle. I would say tackle. A lot of people are saying maybe guard, depending on when he comes back and how the guard rotation looks. I think they're going to give him his first looks at tackle because he has that skill set, and the Bears need a good third tackle. Austin Booker, I was really excited about. I'm going to skip Torrey for a second, but Booker was he was one of my guys. He was one of my defensive gems this year. I was super excited about him. And when the Bears moved back up into the draft to get him, I thought it was a very good value. I would have taken him even a full round sooner. I really like his length, his explosion. His ability to stop the run is a lot better than people give him credit for. It reminds me a little bit of a guy named like Leonard Floyd, who everybody looked at his build, long and lanky, and said, he can't stop the run. Turns out, plays with good leverage, and he can. Austin Booker's the same way. But I think he's made a little bit more of an explosion coming in than Kieran has because he has been on the field. He has had the defensive line coach talking about him. So I really like the Austin Booker pick, and I think we're going to get to see some flashes from him this year. Whether he's a full-time, around-the-clock contributor, I don't think that's going to be his role right off. But I do think in those NASCAR rush packages, third and long, we're going to see Booker get some reps, and we're going to have him see some meaningful production by the end of the season. Torrey Taylor, I thought it was early. That's all I'm going to say. Yes, he's a great punter. Nothing against the player, nothing against the person. I'm just glad they didn't trade up for him. Let's go with that.
I'll say I heard Kevin Warren say that, you know, he gave Poles Poles gave him a list, like the guys that he wanted, and Torrey Taylor was on that list. So, you know, fourth round, I'm sure he just went and got his man. I was the same way, EJ. I was the same way. I was like, what? Wait, what? And then I talked to Anthony Heron, Iowa alum, and I said, Ant, come on, man. We do Bears Unleashed together. I was like, you got to keep it real with me. I was like, fourth round pick for this guy? He's like, Gabe, he's going to be the greatest punter you've ever seen in your entire life. Yeah,
Just you wait, Gabe.
So I'm waiting patiently. I'm waiting just like you are, EJ, to see what that ends up looking like. You mentioned initially when talking about Kyren, just, you know, the state of the offensive line, right, as to where he would play. Obviously, there might be need in certain positions more than the other. How would you assess the current state of the Bears' offensive line?
It's tough. I'm worried. The injuries are bugging me, but even more so, it just kind of seems like the football gods are pushing Ryan Poles to have to invest in interior offensive line earlier than he'd like to. And he's digging his heels in. He's like, look, I went and got free agents. I did trades. I did it, right? Well, he's been saying that for 2 years, and the Bears, especially interior offensive line, has been a rotating mess, and it's really sunk the offense. There's a lot more pieces in place this year, but they're having trouble staying on the field. And I don't know about you, but pre-draft, everybody was like, well, the interior three are set if they get a center. And I was like, are you sure? Because I really like Tevin Jenkins when he's on the field. He is an absolute force. He plays extremely well when healthy, but he struggled with that. Nate, look, Nate's situation is well chronicled. He has not been on the field a lot. And even when he has been, he's had some really up and down play, did last year, you know, looked like he got caught standing still more than a few times. So I was very cautious about that and not as sure as a lot of people were about the interior of the Bears offensive line. And now early in training camp, we're seeing injuries pop up, and I got to tell you, it's making me itch a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, the offensive line certainly isn't exactly where we would like it to be. I love the fact – I'm going to play a clip a little later with Mark Grody where he kind of just says it, like, it's time to make a decision about your center. It's time to make a decision about that right guard. Yeah. Put that line in there right now so we can kind of feel how it is. And then it leads me to my question about coaching. You know, a lot of people are happy, right, about the situation where the Bears are at. They feel good about Coach Flus. I feel good about him as a leader of men. I have zero problem with that. And I also want to highlight that, you know, prior to Flus getting here, there were two coaches back-to-back where you were questioning decisions that they were making in real time. And in terms of timeouts, in terms of clock management, just that kind of stuff. And I feel like when Flus got here, at least I was like, okay, At least he's doing things that I think should be done in this moment. However, he still was a guy that people were thinking was going to be on the chopping block last year. What impact, EJ, do you think the coaching staff, particularly the head coach, and then if you even want to bring up the offensive coordinator in the rant as well, what kind of impact do you think they're going to have on the team's performance this season?
Well, I wanted the Bears to move on from Coach Bluth because I thought it was a very good coaching cycle and I thought there were improvements available on the market. I'll say that. Once they decided to bring Bluth back, I was very happy that Ryan Poles continued to amass talent for him to work with because he was certainly at a talent deficiency at some key spots, and that's a tough way to assess any coach. This year, the Bears are not really at a talent deficiency. They have a quarterback. Yes, he is young, but he's extremely talented and well-regarded. The wide receiver core is one of the best in the NFL. Tight ends are stacked. There's plenty of running backs to work with. The defense came together at the end of last year after the Montez Sweat trade. He's in a very strong footing. If they lay an egg out of the gate, if they go 2-4, 2-5, you're going to hear that drumbeat get a lot louder for, well, he's got all the pieces. Why aren't they working together? I'm hoping that they do work together, that they hit the ground running, because I, too, like his ability as a leader of men. In terms of in-game management stuff, I think the jury's still out. I am not one to jump into that camp quite yet. But he does have, let's just say, the groceries to make the meal at this point. So I think it's a much fairer assessment of what Flus is going to do or give you this year than it has been in his past year.
We're talking to EJ Snyder, co-creator of Bootleg Football, also senior draft analyst at Second City Gridiron. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. All right, EJ, you mentioned, you know, a damning start to the Bears, and hopefully that's not the reality that we see. But I am curious what your expectations are for the season. But I don't want numbers. I want reasons. That's what I've been trying to tell people, right? Like, if you're going to tell me the Bears are going to do X, I want to know the reason why then that is going to happen. If you can for me, please.
Yeah, I absolutely can. It's a great way to frame it. I think this is a team that will go over 500. And some people might think, oh, that's backhanded praise. Again, you're starting a rookie quarterback. Yes, your roster is in a much better position than it was last year, but it is tough to win. And the rest of the division pretty much got better as well. You could say the Vikings probably didn't because of their quarterback situation, but we know Green Bay is on the ups again. The Lions were in the NFC Championship. This is a very difficult division. It is going to be tough to get wins on a regular basis. So if I'm saying this team is a 9 or 10 win team that's going to be threatening for a wild card spot at the end of the year, I think that means it's a pretty big jump for the Bears, not just like you said in record, but the fact that they can contest in this division and end up in that position would be a very strong start for them and for Caleb.
Yeah, I mean, you win 7 games last season, EJ, and you say to yourself, well, just like you said, you have the ingredients to make a good dish, and that dish better be better than what you made last season. So to me, I'm right in that same window where I say, you know, if I can get 1 to 2 game improvement from Caleb Williams and this staff in year one, to me, that's enough for me, especially when you're heading in a certain direction. So I'm with you there on the above 500 stuff. EJ, man, great stuff. Great talking to you, man. Really appreciated the conversation.
Hey, I really appreciate the opportunity, Gabe. Always fun to talk Bears.
Look forward to having you on again. EJ Snyder, co-creator of Bootleg Football, senior draft analyst at Second City Gridiron. You can follow him on Twitter at FootballEJ. EJ, las letras, the letters. All right, I mentioned the clip from Mark Grody a second ago about his little hang sesh with the Wednesday crew, Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi. And he went a little hard, and I want to play it back for you guys because, you know, Grody gives me crap sometimes about fanning, and I felt like there was some fandom in this rant. We'll play it for you. What did Mark Grody have to say about the squad and what decisions need to be made? We'll play it for you after this. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score.
It's Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and on 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Cubs beat the Twins today. 8-2, we're going to get a chance to talk to Andy Martinez at the top of the hour from the Marquee Sports Network. Do that in just a second. Just a reminder, the Cubs, 670 The Score, and Stand Up To Cancer are teaming up for Cubs for a Cure. a 24-hour radiothon hosted by Danny Parkins right here on The Score. The radiothon starts at 10 a.m. next Thursday, August 15th, with 100% of the proceeds benefiting cancer research. If you or your company would like to get involved, email 670radiothon@gmail.com. Gmail, we can throw a score on there. Score.com on there. We can throw a score.com on there. Radiothon@score.com. I get it. I get it. No, it's okay. There's no need for an explanation. I wish I was here. I was supposed to do the Thursday, the 9 to something shift. And then, but I'm going to be in the Bahamas. Going to the Bahamas.
Must be nice.
It is.
Sounds very nice.
It is nice. When you work long enough, you know, you get a chance to go do things like that. But if you're Mark Grody, you get no vacations. You have to stay here.
Yeah, not this time of year.
Not this time of year. You are locked in. And he was on with Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi earlier. And they asked him a really unique question. Take a listen to this clip because I want to be able to talk about it on the other side. But here's Mark Grody talking about what he thinks the Bears need to do. Just take a listen.
They've kind of put him on notice that he can lose his gig. As someone who's around it every day, what did it seem like to you?
I got mad. I mean, like, it's time to answer the question of Nate Davis. Enough pussyfooting around the whole thing. I mean, we heard about before, back in June, I was talking about this last night on Bears Training Camp Live. In June, Matt Eberflus kind of slipped up a little bit and talked and gave a bunch of candidates who could play right guard. And then towards the end of the answer, or after the answer, somebody, a reporter, I think it was Herb Howard, said, oh, so does this mean there's competition at right guard? And Flew said, oh, no, I mean, he's the guy there. He's there, so, you know, he's there. And it was very unconvincing. And I just remember leaving the off-season program thinking, huh, there's definitely a story here. And then I asked Shane Waldron publicly, I said, is assuming Nate Davis is healthy, he's your right guard? He said, yes, 100% yes. And then yesterday we get this from Flus being completely ambiguous, and I'm sick of it. Like, I'm done with this. With, like, somebody needs to either tell us what's going on so we don't sit here and speculate and wonder, and I'm sure the Bears are pissed off too. I'm sure that they've had it as well with Nate Davis. But there is nothing that is being told to anybody about anything, and they're not being straight. And I swear to God, I was talking to somebody out here on the sidelines today, and I brought this up as kind of jokingly last year, and I might have even brought it up on your show. Like, does he have something in his contract where he doesn't have to practice in training camp? Because it's just uncanny. It seems like it's every day, and maybe he's injured, maybe he's not, but the whole thing out of the mouths of me and the coaching staff and Ryan Poles has been so ambiguous, and it's time to figure this out. It's time to name a center. It's time to name your right guard. It's time to stop playing games with an offensive line that's supposed to protect the generation. If you're going to do things differently, the Bears are going to be different this year, then they need to figure this thing out stat and stop playing games with it, because I'm sick of it.
Now, Mark Grody, that was some fire right there, Mark Grody. And I'm thinking to myself, I've been told many a day that Mark Grody doesn't have a fan feather in his cap. He threw those all out. But I'm here to tell you that I will be texting Mark Grody shortly to let him know his fandom was flying through. And I'm validating everything he's saying. You do need to name a center. This is our starting center. You would think by this point, if you had a quarterback controversy, you probably wouldn't say it until later in the camp. So there's no need to have pressure to say who's the center.
And I'll defend Mark for a second as a reporter. Like, and you're getting all these mixed messages, not only about your center, but Nate Davis for like the last year and a half.
But that's been super annoying. Yeah, but that's been the Bears / Coach Eberflus's MO.
True.
Where it's very much like, we're not going to piss anybody off, nor are we going to give you anything because we don't have to. We might have made the mistake before, but now we know how to play this game where I have to talk to you. I know this. I want to be nice to you. But I realized I don't have to give you the information that you really want. And it's interesting coming from a team that preaches transparency and that actively participates in it, that with certain things like that, they can't just be matter of fact. That's fine. I mean, it's not like week one they're not going to have a starting center. It's not like week one they're not going to have a starting right guard. Someone will be there. That person's at practice, whether he's injured or not, or playing right now or not, or if he's on somebody else's squad for that matter. You might see some cap casualties. Bears still have money. So it'll be interesting to see how that thing plays out, but it was good to see Grody with a little bit of oomph, a little bit of Gabe in him. Tired of this. I wouldn't come down so hard on people. Mark Grody, why do you hate Coach Eberflus? That's something Grody would say. Why do you hate him so much? All right. I know what people don't hate, and that is the Chicago Cubs, who have been playing some pretty good baseball over their last 12 games. So we are going to talk to Andy Martinez just about the feel of the clubhouse, the feel of Wrigley. What is it like, that level of believability? Andy Martinez from the Marquee Sports Network joins us after the break. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe. It's The Score. 670 The Score.
It's Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and on 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Cubs beat the Twins today, 8-2. We're going to get a chance to talk to Andy Martinez at the top of the hour from the Marquee Sports Network. Do that in just a second. Just a reminder, the Cubs, 670 The Score and Stand Up To Cancer are teaming up for Cubs for a Cure, a 24-hour radiothon hosted by Danny Parkins right here on The Score. The radiothon starts at 10 a.m. next Thursday, August 15th, with 100% of the proceeds benefiting cancer research. If you or your company would like to get involved, email 670radiothon@gmail.com. Gmail, we could throw a score on there. Score.com on there. We can throw a score.com on there. Radiothon@score.com. I get it. No, it's okay. No need for an explanation. I wish I was here. I was supposed to do the Thursday, the 9 to something shift. But I'm going to be in the Bahamas. Going to the Bahamas.
Must be nice.
It is.
Sounds very nice.
It is nice. When you work long enough, you know, you get a chance to go do things like that. But if you're Mark Grody, you get no vacations. You have to stay here.
Yeah, not this time of year.
Not this time of year. You are locked in. And he was on with Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi earlier. And they asked him a really unique question. Take a listen to this clip because I want to be able to talk about it on the other side. But here's Mark Grody talking about what he thinks the Bears need to do. Just take a listen.
They've kind of put him on notice that he can lose his gig. As someone who's around it every day, what did it seem like to you?
I got mad. I mean, like, it's time to answer the question of Nate Davis. Enough pussyfooting around the whole thing. I mean, we heard back in June, I was talking about this last night on Bears Training Camp Live. In June, Matt Eberflus kind of slipped up a little bit and talked and gave a bunch of candidates who could play right guard. And then towards the end of the answer, or after the answer, somebody, a reporter, I think it was Herb Howard, said, oh, so does this mean there's competition at right guard? And Flus said, oh, no, I mean, he's the guy there. He's there, so, you know, he's there. And it was very unconvincing. And I just remember leaving the off-season program thinking, huh, there's definitely a story here. And then I asked Shane Waldron publicly. I said, is assuming Nate Davis is healthy, he's your right guard. He said, yes, 100% yes. And then yesterday we get this from Flus being completely ambiguous, and I'm sick of it. Like, I'm done with this. Somebody needs to either tell us what's going on so we don't sit here and speculate and wonder, and I'm sure the Bears are pissed off too. I'm sure that they've had it as well with Nate Davis. But there is nothing that is being told to anybody about anything, and they're not being straight. And I swear to God, I was talking to somebody out here on the sidelines today, and I brought this up as kind of jokingly last year, and I might have even brought it up on your show. Like, does he have something in his contract where he doesn't have to practice in training camp? Because it's just uncanny. It seems like it's every day, and maybe he's injured, maybe he's not, but the whole thing out of the mouths of me and the coaching staff and Ryan Poles has been so ambiguous, and it's time to figure this out. It's time to name a center. It's time to name your right guard. It's time to stop playing games with an offensive line that's supposed to protect the generation. If you're going to do things differently, the Bears are going to be different this year, then they need to figure this thing out stat and stop playing games with it, because I'm sick of it.
Now, Mark Grody, woo! That was some fire right there, Mark Grody. And I'm thinking to myself, I've been told many a day that Mark Gordy doesn't have a fan feather in his cap. He threw those all out. But I'm here to tell you that I will be texting Mark Gordy shortly to let him know his fandom was flying through. And I'm validating everything he's saying. You do need to name a center. This is our starting center. You would think by this point, if you had a quarterback controversy, you probably wouldn't say it until later in the camp. So there's no need to have pressure to say who's the center.
And I'll defend Mark for a second as a reporter. Like, and you're getting all these mixed messages, not only about your center, but Nate Davis for like the last year and a half.
But that's been super annoying. Yeah, but that's been the Bears / Coach Eberflus's MO.
True.
Where it's very much like, we're not going to piss anybody off, nor are we going to give you anything because we don't have to. We might have made the mistake before, but now we know how to play this game where I have to talk to you. I know this. I want to be nice to you. But I realized I don't have to give you the information that you really want. And it's interesting coming from a team that preaches transparency and that actively participates in it. That with certain things like that, they can't just be matter of fact. That's fine. I mean, it's not like week one, they're not going to have a starting center. It's not like week one, they're not going to have a starting right guard. Someone will be there. That person's at practice. Whether he's injured or not, or playing right now or not, or if he's on somebody else's squad for that matter. You might see some cap casualties. Bears still have money. So it'll be interesting to see how that thing plays out, but it was good to see Grody with a little bit of oomph, a little bit of Gabe in him. Tired of this. I wouldn't come down so hard on people. Mark Grody, why do you hate Coach Eberflus? That's something Grody would say. Why do you hate him so much? All right. I know what people don't hate, and that is the Chicago Cubs, who have been playing some pretty good baseball over their last 12 games. So we are going to talk to Andy Martinez just about the feel of the clubhouse, the feel of Wrigley. What is it like, that level of believability? Andy Martinez from the Marquee Sports Network joins us after the break. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe. It's the Score.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.